It's great to be here with everybody. Seeing some old friends, some new friends. It's great to be here. I shared in the adult class before about the plight of slaves in Pakistan. Hopefully you heard that. I also have the yellow sheet. If any of you wants to watch a live slave rescue, I'll have that in the back after the service if you didn't get a chance to sign up for that. I'm going to talk to you now, though, about something a little different. Let me tell you a story. There was this house painter. He painted lots of different kinds of buildings in his career, but he was always cutting corners, and he was never doing stuff the way he really should do it. And what he would do is he would put water in his paint so that when he painted a house or a building, the water went on smoother and faster, and he could get the job done more quickly, but the paint just didn't last. One day he got a job painting this giant church. And sure enough, he put water in the paint, and he painted the whole church. And when it got all done, he was standing back, and he was just admiring his work. All of a sudden, these storm clouds came up, and this huge rainstorm came up. And he sat there, and he watched as the rain washed the paint completely off the church. All of a sudden, out of the dark cloud comes this deep voice. And the voice said, "Repaint, repaint, repaint. Go and thin no more." You know, I tell that story, people go, come on, you know, why would somebody who's going to do something for the Lord not give it everything they have? Why would they do that? It doesn't work. And I'm here today to share with you a thought that you may want to consider, that one area that we really don't oftentimes give God everything we have is reading His Word and sharing it with others. I see that all over the world. I don't know why, it's just habit or whatever, but I have to tell you a story about this teenage girl who thought about it and had a solution that you might want to adopt. Her name was Helen Cadbury. It was in the UK. She's 16, and she said, you know, I want to share my faith, but I don't have the same kind of persuasive skills that the Apostle Paul has. But you know, God says it pretty well in His Word, so maybe what I'll do is I'll encourage people to read the Bible for themselves. And that she did. And so what she did in the 1800s, and Bibles back then were like really big, and she would bring her big family Bible to school every day. She'd go to her friends and she'd say, "Have you read this book? You need to read this book." Her friends would read it and come to faith. Now her father owned Cadbury Chocolate Company. Any of you heard of Cadbury Chocolate? Yeah, some of you are going, okay, we got chocolate involved. This is getting better. Okay, so what he did is he said, tell you what, Helen, I'm not excited about you bringing the big family Bible to school every day. I'm afraid you're going to lose all the marriage records and the birth and death certificates in it. So he had these little pocket testaments made and gave them to his daughter. And the girls got together and they said, what can we do with this? And they said, I know. Let's form a league. And to be a member of the Pocket Testament League, which was free to do with no dues back in 1893 and is free today, you make it a goal of your life to read some portion of the Bible every day. You carry the Word of God with you in a pocket you've dedicated to the Lord, and you say a simple prayer every day. Lord, who would you have me share this book with today? From that little teenage girl, by 1941, there were 8 million members of the Pocket Testament League, written up as the greatest movement of God since the 14th century, just because God's people were reading and sharing His Word. And if you think about your life and you look at it in perspective, there's really two things we really need to do while we're on this planet. One is to know God, and the other is to make Him known. And if you are reading, carrying, and sharing the Word of God, your heart is just lining up with God's heart, and pretty cool things will happen to you if you do it. Now, let me just kind of go through this a little bit to see if this might apply to you. How many people here think it's a good idea to read some portion of the Bible every day? Anybody? Raise your hand if you think it's a good idea. Okay, everybody gets that. And what's really cool is Scripture, and I'm not going to go through the parable of the sower, but Scripture refers to the Word of God as a living seed. In Luke 8:11, it says the seed is the Word of God. So what you want to do is you want to plant the seed, the living God, in your own heart first. And then you can plant it in other hearts. Now, because I'm with Pocket Testing League, we just get really excited about pockets. So could I just ask you a question? How many people here, and you can count your coat, your backpack, your purse, a jacket, how many people here might have an empty pocket they're not using for anything else? Anybody raise your hand if you have one? Okay, this is a pocket-heavy crowd. I get excited about that. Now, we carry important things in our pockets, right? Our car keys, our cell phone. If it's important, it goes in our pocket. I'm suggesting there's nothing more important than the Almighty God's living word. You can carry it in that pocket. I suggest you consider dedicating it to the Lord. You just stick it in there. No pressure on you. You just say, God, if I'm supposed to share it, would you make that happen? No pressure, and see what happens. It's very cool. By the way, Father John, is this an intelligent, smart crowd? Okay, it is. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna teach you all how to share your faith using scripture right now. If you're able, would you please all stand? And some of you are going, oh no, this is scary. I didn't sign up for this. What am I gonna do now, okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want everybody here to bend their right arm at the elbow like this. Pretend they have one of these little pocket testaments in your hand, on your right arm, right like this. And at the count of three, I want you to extend your arm like this from the elbow and say, here, this is for you. You ready? One, two, three. Here, this is for you. Good, sit down. You are officially trained. Now, if I had more time, I'd teach you how to do it left-handed, because some of the left-handed folks are going, whoa. This is something you can easily do. And if you can do that, God is just waiting to pour himself into your life and to give you joy and purpose. Let me tell you a story. So I was going back from, I had a five-hour drive back to my office, and I had a lunch appointment that I had to get back to my office before my lunch appointment. So I was really in a hurry. And I come roaring into the parking lot. I go through the lobby to run up to my office. I'd been gone for a couple of weeks, and I knew it was going to be covered with piles of paper. And my lunch appointment was already there. I'm going, oh, man, I got to make a call before I talk to him. And so I go running. I go to my desk. I get ready to pick up the phone on my desk, and it rings. And I go, I can't answer this call. Any of you ever feel that pressure where you got, like, so much to do? So I pick up the phone. I say, hello. This woman on the other line, and I could hear this ding-ding sound going in the background. I didn't know what it was. And she said, excuse me, I wonder if you can help me. I would like to become a Christian. Now, this is going to sound really unholy, but I thought it was my daughter. Oftentimes, she would call me and disguise her voice just to kind of give me a hard time. But it wasn't. And I said, what's going on? And this woman was calling me from a payphone outside Nashville, Tennessee, back when they had payphones, And the ding-ding sound was when a car would pull into the gas station, it would make a noise for the people in the back. So the ding-ding's going off, and I'm talking to her. And I said, what's going on? She said, well, I'm standing here waiting for my bus. And there was a crowd of people here. This man comes up to me in the crowd and says, here, this is for you. And then he left. I open up the book and I started reading it, and I'm standing there and I'm reading this and I realize, I need this Jesus. Can you help me? And I prayed with her with the ding-ding sound going off in the background as she invited Jesus into her heart. Now, the amazing thing is the man that said, here, this is for you, in the crowd, had no idea that on that day, that woman was having an appointment with her eternal destiny. You can be a big part of that. You wouldn't believe all the stories we get. In fact, when I was new at Pocket Testament League, I went into the lunchroom. There's a whole bunch of volunteers doing stuff. And I said, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we're praying over and responding to all the letters we get. I said, what do you mean letters? Now, I was a banker in Silicon Valley. The only letters we ever got were like from the lawyers where we messed something up, okay? And so I looked in, and there were these cardboard boxes filled with letters. I decided I'd read them. First one was like, you know, our marriage was on the rocks, both my husband and I got one of these little pocket testaments you have, and we both read it, and we gave our lives to the Lord. Our marriage has turned around. Another person said they were on drugs, but they got off drugs. Another person said, I was in solitary confinement in a prison, and I was lost, and I found one of your little books there. It turned my life around, on and on and on and on. I couldn't believe it. So I decided I was going to read every letter. I got to 100,000 letters. And I fell on my knees and I said, God, I had no idea how powerful your word is. Scripture tells us it's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It is. And I'm just giving you the report because I had the blessing of reading all the letters. God's doing amazing things with his word. We got a letter once from a man in Fort Worth. He was walking down the street in downtown Fort Worth. He found one of these on the sidewalk. He gave his life to the Lord. Now he shares them all over Fort Worth. Alyssa wrote me and she said, I take one of these with me to my school. I don't say anything. I just leave it on top of my books. People come over and say, what's that? Can I read it? And I say, sure, go ahead and have it. It's so simple to do this. I had another woman who said, look, I'm really afraid to share my faith. I don't know how to do it. And so what she said is, I decided to become a secret agent for Jesus. She said, I'd carry these little pocket Gospels of John. By the way, I have a whole bunch for everybody to take at the end. They're free. You can take them. You can go on the website and order more. They might ask you for a small donation, but you can also get them for free if you want. But I've got those in the back. Be sure you get some when you leave. Anyway, so this woman said, I'm a secret agent for Jesus. So she said, what I do is, if I go into a doctor's office, I just quietly leave one of these in the waiting room on the table. If I'm on an airplane, I stick it in the back seat of an airplane pocket. When I'm in the grocery store, I put it in the cereal section between the boxes for people to find. Then she said, you know, I'm really being a scaredy cat about this. I need to be more aggressive. But she didn't know what to do. She goes into a convenience store one day. She's getting ready to pay. She opens her purse. She's fumbling to try to find her wallet. But here's this little Gospel of John sitting on the top. The clerk in the store saw all this and looked at her and said, what's that in your purse? And she said, oh, it's a little part of the Bible. And the man said, you know, I've never read the Bible and I have always wanted to. Do you think I could read it? She gave it to him with a trembling hand. And she realized, how scary is this? It's not scary at all. People are either saved or lost. If they're saved, they'll give it to somebody else. If they're lost, they really need somebody to tell them who Jesus is. And it's you, by the way. So she told me, and then she said, so the next Saturday, my son's soccer game, I'm standing on the sidelines. And this woman starts pouring her heart out to me how her life is a mess. She doesn't know what she's going to do. She's a disaster. And I remember I had a little pocket Gospel of John in my purse. I just took it out and I handed it to her and I said, you know, this is something that might help you. It's helped me. And I just share that with you. And she was marveling how God took her from being a scaredy cat for Jesus and turned her into so that her life became a planter of the Word of God. You know, in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, it says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so it yields seed for the sower, there's that seed word again, and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is living and it multiplies, but God designed this world so that you would share it. Pretty easy thing to do. Let me tell you another story that I found kind of bizarre. So I was in Southern California. I was near San Diego. My cell phone rings 6 o'clock in the morning. Who's calling me at 6 o'clock in the morning? It was the Pentagon. I'm thinking, how did they get my number? What's going on here? And this was after 9/11. So a guy calls me, he says, well, you know, here's what's happening. After that American Airlines plane crashed into the Pentagon and all those people were killed, somebody left a bunch of your pocket testaments nearby, and we've had so many miracles and so many changed lives, would you be willing to come and talk to us? And I'm thinking, what? I said, well, yeah. So I go to the Pentagon, and by the way, after 9/11, it hasn't been real easy to get in there, all right? But I went in there, and they assembled a whole bunch of people in the dining room, the Pentagon dining room, And I brought a whole bunch of these little pocket gospels like I brought for you. They took everything I had. I thought it was really, really strange. You know, here it is in this military operation. They gave me a tour around the place. I got to go see where the Joint Chiefs of Staff are and go through the Pentagon. And then they took me to Ground Zero. And I'm in this place, and when guards are finished, and they're finished guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they come over there, and there's guards there. It's a very solemn place, very sacred place. And the guy giving us the tour was there that day. And he said, you know, on September 11th, I was here, and I'll never forget the smell of the burning jet fuel and the burning bodies. It was horrific. And then he showed me the wall with all the names of all the people that died that day when that American Airlines flight came into the building. And so we go over to the window, and there's a windowsill there, and he starts pointing out the window. He says, you see that parking sign that's hanging up over there? I said, yeah. He says, well, that was hit by the plane first. It fell on a taxi cab. That was actually the first casualty when it fell on the taxi cab. And he said, see over there? That's where the wing hit the ground before everybody came hurtling into the building. And right there on the shelf, where all this was happening, were these little pocket Gospels of John. And I sat there, and the people that were with us, they were crying. This was just a really solemn place. And this woman comes over to me. She says, oh, you're with Pocket Testimony. I said, yes. She said, well, what happens is we leave these here on the windowsill, and we get all these foreign heads of state and foreign military leaders that come. They all want to come to the Pentagon, and they want to get a tour, and we give them a tour. And what happens is these heads of state and these military leaders, they take these and they slip them in their pockets on the way out, and we keep running out. Do you think we can get some more? And so we would periodically get these calls from the Pentagon to provide the Word of God. The amazing thing to me is that right there on that spot, and probably the one of the most vulnerable military spots in our country, which has got the most powerful military in the history of the world, is the Word of God. You can't make this stuff up. So it's an incredible opportunity for you to read, carry, and share the Word of God. We still get thousands, now they're emails, we get thousands of stories every month whose lives have been changed, who've gotten off drugs, whose hearts have been softened, who have found purpose in their life, joy and peace. I wish that for all of you. So at the end, please come see me in the back. I'll be handing these things out, and perhaps you can start a life of being, joining the parable of the sower and planting the Word of God in your heart and the hearts of others. Thank you.